Happy Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. Back again for a more in the pain, pain in the more pain, pain in the morning. I got it right. Finally got it right. We got this coming out for the daily newscast today, and then we got the regular podcast. I think it's episode 22 coming out. We got a good interview with FBI. We got breaking news. We got a couple breaking news. So just got done doing the More Pain show. Took a little break. Got some water. Hung out with the crew. Now I'm back at it. It is midnight. Thursday. No, I don't even know what day it is. It's midnight Wednesday. Okay, let's jump in. I got a lot of work ahead to me tonight. Let's see. Kind of a deviation from the current crisis. A little change of pace with the news here. Oh, yeah, I always jump into things. I'm doing a video podcast of this on patreon.com/truepundit. That's where we just did the More Pain show. That was a 2.5 hour show. If you want basically something like that, 2.5 hours, I think. Yeah, definitely. Talking about all kinds of stuff. Department of Justice, police brutality, and civil rights, and civil liberties. Covered a lot of stuff, but shout out to the folks out on patreon.com/truepundit. Checking out the video cast, video podcast. Tuning in every night to see a man come unglued right before their eyes. It's like watching Twitter, watching people come unglued. But seriously, we appreciate the support on there. If you want to support us, my mouth is already behind my brain. If you want to support us, that's really the best way to do it right now. And we appreciate the support we are getting. We're digging it. Change of pace from the current crisis. We'll start out. Interesting story, I thought. Folks out there who know me know I'm a big Elvis Presley fan. Elvis was king, Ike was president, and 116,000 Americans died in a pandemic. The year was 1957. Elvis's new movie, Jailhouse Rock, was packing to theaters. The last episode of I Love Lucy aired on television. The show West Side Story held tryouts in Washington, D.C. and opened on Broadway in September. Ford's new car, the Edsel, rolled off the assembly line. The Cold War with Russia. Getting a lot of feedback here. The Cold War with Russia was on, and In God We Trust appeared on U.S. currency. The first Toys R Us store opened, 1957. Also that year, the so-called Asian flu killed 116,000 Americans. It was first reported in Singapore in February 57, Hong Kong in April 57, and in coastal cities in the United States in the summer 57. The estimated number of deaths was 1.1 million worldwide and 116,000 in the United States. Like the current pandemic, there was a demographic pattern to the deaths. It hit the elderly population with heart and lung disease. In a frightening twist, the virus could also be fatal for pregnant women. The infection rate was probably even higher than the Spanish flu of 1918, where 675,000 Americans died. But this lowered the overall case fatality rate to 0.67. A vaccine became available in late 1957, but was not widely distributed. And yet we all survived. Oh, my God. And Fauci was still at the NIH in 1957. This guy. What's remarkable when we look back at this year, which was 1957, nothing was shut down. Restaurants, schools, theaters, sporting events, travel, everything continued without interruption. Without a 24-hour news cycle and thousands of news agencies and a billion websites hungry for traffic, most people paid no attention other than to keep basic hygiene, which isn't that hard to do when you're using a quart of oil to slick your hair back. Some of you guys might be doing that now. I mean, don't get near any open flames or any candles, or it could be like Michael Jackson's Pepsi commercial. Looked like a campfire picnic. It was covered in the press as a medical problem. The notion that there was a political solution never occurred to anyone. Yeah, because the government back then wasn't stupid enough to pretend that they gave a crap about anybody, because they didn't, and they still don't. It's kind of funny. The government, people are going to die. We want to save you. Get the fuck out of here. When did you start saving our sorry ass? Never happened, and it's never going to happen. This was a serious flu, and it persisted for 10 years until it mutated to become the Hong Kong flu of 1968. Some perspective there for you folks. The mystery of what today's vast numbers of governments around the world have crushed economies, locked people under house arrest, wrecked businesses, spread despair, disregarded basic freedoms and rights will require years, if not decades, to sort out. Yet everybody wants me to do it in about an hour. It is the news cycle that is creating mass hysteria, is it? Political ambition and arrogance? A decline in philosophical regard for freedom as the best system for dealing with crisis? Most likely, the ultimate answer will look roughly like what historians say about the Great War, which was World War I. It was a perfect storm that created a calamity. I think that's probably, if you look up government in the dictionary, that's what it should say, the federal government. A perfect storm that created calamity. It's kind of a, let me take a drink here. It's kind of a deviation, a little bit of background, 1957. Rock around the clock, right? Bill Haley in the comments. Rock around the clock to 2020 and you lose your goddamn business. Because the government's going to save you. Anything so preposterous if you've been following government and you've been in D.C., following D.C. for, I don't know how long I've been there for, a long time. I always say that. People say, stop saying how long you've been there. You sound cocky. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say, right? But the government's going to save us. Jesus Christ, what a joke. There's a special place in hell for everybody who's up to no good right now. According to Apple, new story. Americans are returning to normal life, whether state and local officials like it or not. Yes, I like it. Are we recording everything? I didn't even check. Yeah, looks like we're going. This is the kind of day it's been. A couple weeks ago, I recorded like an hour newscast, podcast, and I got done. I was like, that was pretty good. No, it wasn't, because I wasn't even taping. Start over. My wife asked me, how come you've been up all night again? What's going on in that office? I'm having wild parties down here, don't you know? It's getting crazy. According to Apple's Mobility Trends Report, which tracks people's searches for directions on Apple Maps. Apple Maps? Who the hell is using Apple Maps? Traffic in America has more than doubled in the last 3 weeks since its low point at -60% from the baseline. As of Saturday, that number has risen to only -16% from the baseline. So there's more people out and about. Another report, this one from location data provider Foursquare, found that fast food and gas station visits have returned to pre-COVID-19 levels in the Midwest and in rural areas across the nation. The reports correspond, see this microphone is ringing in my ear, with mobile phone data provided by NPR by SafeGraph over the weekend, which also shows that Americans are not sheltering in place as much as they had in April. Leave these fucking smartphones at home. So these pointdexting little pricks don't know where you're at. Who the fuck is it their business to where we're at? And get rid of all your shitty apps that you're not using too that shares all your data. Get a burner phone. Or you know what I've been doing? I've been going out of the house and I leave the phones at home. Let's go back to the 70s and 80s. There's no fucking phones. There's no call waiting. If you wanted to talk to your girlfriend and her mom was on the phone, you make an emergency breakthrough like a man. Tell her mom, get the fuck off the phone. I'm trying to talk to your daughter. Come over and make out with her, for God's sakes. And you're trying to cut a real estate deal. Emergency breakthrough from Mike. People know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, then tough shit. The reports, about 50% of those mobile phones from SafeGraph had data on, they stayed home on April 12th, which was Easter, the highest point in the data. That number hasn't since come anywhere close, showing a steady decline, with the most recent numbers showing that less than 40% stayed home on April 27th. I don't even know where this is from. The Blaze. I mean, who wrote this? This is things all over the place. This is like giving a kid a crayon at the dinner table when you go out to dinner and he's all over the place. One of those places you go and they have like, oh, you can draw on the tablecloth. And the kids spend all day drawing, you know, before the food comes. They're like, look, isn't this nice? It's like, dude, it's a disaster. You better give that horse some legs or there's not going to be any dessert. Yeah, so that's good. More people are out and about. They don't care about that. Look, I did 400 days of stretch of house arrest. It's no joke. I told people last month, second and third month is a disaster to try to get used to. And if you don't have to do it, people are not going to do it. Number one. Number two, the numbers just aren't there for what these politicians are trying to sell. So fuck them too.
You have to stay inside. We're flattening the curve.
You're also flattening our lives, you fucking dummies. Wait till the summer comes. Payback. I think there's going to be problems in the summer, but I've said that and you guys know that. Just a quick read on this. There's not much substance here, but I would be remiss not to. Yesterday, we didn't have any meat stories, and people were very disappointed. I know the folks out there that are vegans were very upset that the meat cast was interrupted. Meat shortages. I still get that ringing in my ears. Meat shortages leave Wendy's diners asking, where's the beef? A check on Wendy's app showed that only chicken items were available for takeout or delivery orders from at least some of its stores in California. The situation has prompted a number of customers to ask, where's the beef? On social media, invoking a Wendy's catchphrase from the 1980s that poked fun at small burgers sold by other chains. For Wendy's, the shortages appear to have only affected some areas so far. Items such as the Baconator, bacon cheeseburger, for example, were still available to order in Chicago. So that's a little quick update on the meats. We're going to cut through this. I got another podcast coming tonight, tomorrow, today. I don't even know what day it is, but there's another podcast that will follow this one. It's our main podcast on Wednesday mornings. I like Wednesday mornings. I call it Big Wednesday around here. Things have been circulating and circling around Big Wednesday lately around here. And most of the Wednesdays we've had have been pretty big. So thanks to you folks out there listening. Uh-oh, another meat story. Tyson expects to keep, you know what it is? This microphone's too high. It has to come down. Hello. Tyson expects to keep, I'm still a rookie at this, so cut me a little slack here. I got to, hello. I'm still learning my way around this. It sounds pretty good, our tech, our quality so far, but, you know, if I get a little bug in my ear, I like to try to correct it on the fly. I'm not one of these guys that's going to go back and cut this out and be like, everything has to sound perfect. Life's not perfect. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And this country sure shit isn't perfect right now. So we're just rolling with it. Tyson expects to keep slowing meat production as coronavirus sickens workers and tanks income. We have and expect to continue to face slowdowns and temporary idling of production facilities from team member shortages or choices we make to ensure operational safety, Tyson said in a statement. The company's had to shut down plants in Dakota City, Nebraska, and Pasco, Washington, as well as pork plants in Waterloo and Perry, Iowa. It started a limited reopening Monday of a pork plant in Logansport, Indiana, where nearly 900 employees tested positive. There have been some shortages in some specific categories, CEO Noel White told analysts on a conference call. The country's capacity to slaughter hogs has dropped by about 50% from pre-pandemic levels, according to Tyson President Dean Banks. More meat problems, folks. Also, we got meat shortages are here. Now, I went back 7 weeks ago. We've been talking about, I said, get meat on patreon.com/truepundit. It was a Saturday. Usually don't post too much on the weekends, but I said, hey, if you're out there, folks, and this is 7 weeks ago now. I usually don't tell people what to do, who to watch, that kind of thing. But I said, we're hearing from a lot of people there's going to be a problem with meats, a run on meat. And I got a ton of feedback back from people since then saying, thank you so much and appreciate it. And then that's been a theme for the last four weeks strong, but I'm going to have 7 weeks. And I said, hey man, we're going to have some problems here. Now we're here. May 6th. And we are here 7 weeks later. And I wish we weren't, but I'm happy that we were able to tip our peeps off, so to speak. Meat shortages have arrived. Costco, Kroger warned of limited supply. Costco on Monday said it would be limiting customers to just 3 packages of meat per shopper, while Kroger supermarkets posted an alert on the meat section of its website warning that it may have limited inventory due to high demand. Grocers have been bracing for a run on meat in mid-May as major meat processing plants. We just talked about Tyson Foods, right? They're a major, one of the majors, have been forced to shut down production, but the shortages appear to have come earlier than expected as consumers worried about the meat shortage have been stocking up, experts say, thanks to some jerk with a podcast and a Patreon channel who told people 7 weeks ago. So, unfortunately, the prediction and the intel was correct and has come true. I hope you're in a position to be proactive about that. Unfortunately, I don't know how long it's going to last for, but we're here. New headline. We're going to try to zip through this, not fucking around today, because also I didn't talk about it, but because it wasn't prepped in the news today, but we did move a story on True Punter, you should check out. Right before I started going on air for the More Pain show, we moved a story. The doctor who made a breakthrough in COVID-19 research was gunned down in a murder-suicide. That's our lead story. It'll probably change before tomorrow because we're breaking some news on the podcast. Got notes all over the place. I was talking to spooks all day. Federal agents and ex-agents. And I'm so busy, I'm not even going to worry about this ridiculous ringing in these headphones. But after I get off air, I'll probably go downstairs and take a couple swings at the punching bag. Look at this. It's like it's 12:36 and these people are still texting me. It's all night long, these people. That's the West Coast texting. Hey, are you, what's going on? I got some stuff for you. A researcher was killed at a guy who made work for University of Pittsburgh, made some breakthroughs. Looks like he's Chinese or Chinese American, a doctor. He was shot, gunned down. So check out that story. It's very strange. He's a professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, and the college came out and said the guy was making massive inroads in SARS-CoV-2 research. And very strange. That guy got gunned down, and it looks like by maybe a coworker. Might come to that out to be something like that. Very strange. You got, let's see. This isn't just your regular. He got apparent gunshot wounds to his head, neck, and torso. Yikes. Something went on there. Check that out, True Pundit. New story. Dozens dead after lockdown measures delayed. There are heart surgeries. A health official said this, quote, certainly was not intended. This was in, this is in Ontario. Our neighbors. Delayed heart surgeries, for example, have already resulted in around 35 deaths, a university health report states. A report has been released by UHN with respect to cardiac deaths, and it's been estimated that approximately 35 people may have passed away because their surgeries were not performed. Health Minister Christine Elliott acknowledged this on Tuesday. According to the outlet, the FAO report found at least 12,200 surgeries and procedures are being postponed weekly, with the tally reaching 52,700 as of April 23rd and climbing daily. If I get lower on the microphone, it'll work. Meanwhile, typically full hospitals are operating at around 69% capacity. So why did you cancel surgery if you're operating at 69% capacity? That doesn't make any fucking sense. Some hospitals around in the U.S. are operating at 30% capacity, and they're canceling surgeries. Why? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with that. There's so many unanswered questions when it comes to this stuff. It's very frustrating. Are you like me and you're just tired of things that don't make sense? That started out like, it sounded like an infomercial, didn't it? new headline. Billionaire Sam Zell sees economy permanently scarred by the pandemic. Sam Zell, the billionaire known for buying up troubled real estate, said the coronavirus pandemic will leave the same kind of impact on the economy and society as the Great Depression 80 years ago, with long-lasting changes in human behavior that imperil many business models. I'm not changing. I refuse to change and conform to this nonsense. I was out today. I had to pick up some stuff and did some curbside pickup down at the hardware store, and they have this little area set up just for the curbside pickup. You pull into it, it's like corralled. It says there's six signs that say curbside pickup, parking only. So I wheel in there, right? I call the dudes, yo, I'm here. Dudes come out, they start loading up. There's a car parked right next to me. Nobody's in it. It's not running. BMW. So right away I'm thinking, this fucking asshole, look at this fucking asshole. This is some bullshit. It says, and there's spots all over the place, right? But this guy's got a pool in the spot. He's got a pool in the spot that he's not supposed to be in. So right away I'm like, all right, motherfucker. There's no sports on TV, so I'll make my own sports. So the guy loaded me up. I was like, thanks, man. And then I waited. I waited for him to come out. And here he comes, bebopping out, dressed like J. Crew, for fuck's sake, in his BMW. And the dude had, like, I don't know what he had. He had a coffee cup. You know, he looked like one of these guys when they go to the kids' soccer games. One of the guys with the coffee cup that doesn't even watch the game because he's too busy telling everybody how great he is. And he had like a mask on, but it was like down around his chin or whatever. He was too cool, you know, for school, this kind of guy. So I said to him, yo, you get a discount for being an asshole when you buy that car, or do they charge you extra? I said, can't you read what the sign says? And he just looked at me, right? And, yeah, he gave me the old Philly F you, you know what I mean? And I said, yo, keep the mask on. You look better with it on. And it was just kind of some friendly banter on my thing. The guy was like shaking. Like, he probably got in his car. He was like, oh my God, that guy's crazy. He's probably dialing like 911. This guy's crazy. He tried to kill me. You know, they're probably looking for me now because I told the guy he was a jerk. Have you noticed this? If you have been out, people are driving like they're insane. There's no laws. It's Thunderdome. I got passed by Mel fucking Gibson on the road today. This guy was like, I don't know what he was driving. He had one of these little Vin Diesel rigs from Fast and Furious. You know, it's like an inch off the ground. It sounds like it has a lawnmower engine in it. This guy comes blowing by me. He's had to be at least doing 100, right? Where's this guy going? Where is he going? And where the fuck are the cops at? This guy was a menace. It's a runaway lawnmower flying down a road 100 miles an hour. For what? There's nothing to do. Nothing's open. You noticing this? People are completely out of control. And it's not even warm out yet. Okay. Back to Sam Zell, the billionaire who says this is bad sentence. Worse than the Great Depression. Quote, too many people are anticipating a kind of V-like recovery, Zell said in an interview with Bloomberg Television. We're all going to be permanently scarred by having lived through this. Especially the guy at the hardware store with the BMW. Dude will be in therapy by tomorrow. Some of these snowflakes. Just as the Depression left behind a generation that couldn't shake the experience of mass unemployment, hunger, and desperation, the burdens the crisis has forced on society may be similarly hard to forget. Zell, 78, said it won't be easy for people to live as they did before the extraordinary shock of the pandemic. I think it'll be easy. Just do what you want to do. Have enough balls to tell people to fuck off. Hey, where's your mask? I'm wearing it. I've been wearing it my whole life. You calling me ugly? You picking on me? Why are you picking on me? How soon will anybody get on an airplane? How soon will anybody stay in a hotel? How soon will anybody go to a mall? He asked. The fact that these places may not The fact that these places may be open doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be doing business. Well, that's true. That is true. I feel bad for restaurants, too. He didn't put restaurants in there. I feel bad for guys who have restaurants because in many instances, it's a coin toss to see how many people are going to come back and what kind of restrictions you have. Where are we at? 30 minutes. In that light, let me see how many stores we got left here. They load me up with all these stores. They know this is a busy Wednesday and I got another one to do. They don't care. These young bucks, they think everybody's like, you know, made of rubber like them. They can go out drinking all night, do whatever they want half the time, but they can't any now. Can't do it anymore. Woo! No more partying for you youngsters. That's a damn shame, really. Considering the rest of your life, it's like you should live it up while you're young. Headline, shock. This is a shock if it's true or close to true or relatively true. I'm sorry, I have to adjust this again. I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys hear that buzzing, but it's driving me fucking insane. Now I know how Larry O'Donnell fell with the hammering. But there's nobody here for me to yell at. I can't tell anybody to stop the hammering or stop the buzzing because there's nobody here right now. More than 40% of small businesses may close in the next 6 months. 40%, is that right? Can you believe this? This is crazy. I said it earlier tonight because I had read something earlier today. I didn't know this was going to be in here, but I just read a couple headlines and a graph, but... United States Chamber of Commerce estimates more than 40% of the nation's 30 million small businesses could close permanently in the next 6 months. And what has the Chamber of Commerce done about it? Chamber of Commerce, which is really a political action committee when you break it all down. Not exactly the most honest folks running that shop. The economic consequences of such a mass business failure could last for generations. This is all great news, isn't it? This is fantastic. There's no food. There's no hope. There's no chance. But you know what? We have to keep it real because it's the way it is. We can't bullshit. There's enough of that going around on the internet. People misleading people. People give misinformation. That puts you at a disadvantage in a time of crisis. You need good information. You need good intel to make sound decisions. Make poor decisions based on poor intelligence and poor information. So we're trying to counter that by giving you the straight skinny. Commercial bankruptcies in the first quarter of 2020 ticked up 4% from a year earlier. Many of those filings were made before the pandemic, when the economy was healthy. Right now, some owners are waiting to find out if they will receive federal stimulus aid before deciding whether to file for bankruptcy protection. I would say... Expect a lot more bankruptcies if they're waiting for the stimulus. Of course, large companies, and in particular large retail outlets, are not immune to the economic effects of coronavirus. Brands like Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, JCPenney, Macy's. What are they listing? All the stores that Dr. Burks gets her scarves at? The Gap, GNC, and David's Bridal are all staring down the possibility of their stores may not reopen once coronavirus lockdowns are lifted, according to USA Today. Hey, guys, if you ever had to pay for a wedding or you're in a wedding and you saw how much the wedding was, I don't feel bad for David's Bridals, okay? It's like it's a scheme. The whole thing's a scheme. I take back all the money that was spent on my wedding. And all these ungrateful fucking relatives I never saw again that had great meals and drank my ass under the table with liquor because, you know. And then we go to open the gifts and like some of these hillbillies from Western PA are giving like $15. I'm like, yo, Aunt Sally, you and your drunk husband last night, you drank about $350 and ate about $350 worth of food. I think the envelope's a little fucking light. My mother-in-law's, oh my God, he's so ungrateful. I'm not kidding around. One aunt, okay, this is what we got. We got a card. It looked like it was from the Civil War. It was all water-stained and shit. I said, when did Paul Revere drop this fucking card, and how did we get it, right? And then there was a little box. I'm thinking, what's in the box? This is what you're dealing with. You drop, like, all this money on a wedding. You're like, oh, maybe we'll get some money back in gifts. You know what I mean? This Western PA crowd, listen to this. We open up the little box. It's a vegetable peeler. And the handle is a bowling pin, like a mini bowling pin vegetable peeler. I'm saying, this broad was half in the bag last night, okay? Drinking top shelf liquor, and I got a bowling pin vegetable peeler? The fuck kind of setup is? So I don't feel bad, okay, for the bridal place. Anyway, that was a sidebar. But let's you know my crazy world. I know you've been there too. You drop all this money on these relatives and then some, like, you know what? I'm not even going to invite these people. I'm not even inviting them. And then you get pressured into inviting me and then they disappoint you. You say, God damn it. Damn. I shouldn't have invited them. They're costing me a lot of money and we didn't recoup any money. Who comes to a wedding and gives a goddamn vegetable peeler? What's the matter with you people out there? $10 check at a wedding. It's the same asshole in the BMW. CNBC says that at least 150 companies, from airline conglomerates to healthcare providers, have warned investors to expect major earnings hits. It's getting ugly. Well, it's actually not ugly yet. I think it's going to be ugly. I think the groundwork has already been set for what's to come. We just don't realize it yet because we're so eagerly anticipating a green light to get back to business. But there's problems abound. Jesus. Is this the last story? I don't know. How much bad news can we take? I don't know. I got to get beyond my game and be able to try to spin this a little bit and have some fun with these things because they're so hard to swallow. But we do need to know this stuff. You know, you don't want to be an ostrich with your head in the sand. This is the last one of the day, I think. Where are we at? 35 minutes. Okay. Chicago Fed. Economists see a U-Cove jobless rate as high as, Jesus, I don't even want to tell you until we get a little bit into it. I don't want to ruin it for you. The official U.S. unemployment rate for April, due out this Friday, it's in a couple days, will likely vastly understate job destruction from the coronavirus pandemic. So a pair of economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago set out to create a measure that captures the true extent of the labor market losses. Let me try something here with this. Hold on for 1 second. Okay, we're getting some texts from some people, and they're people that I need to keep on press because it has to do with the podcast. I've been waiting to tape the front part of the podcast as late as possible because I'm expecting some information from the West Coast about the FBI and some other stuff going on. So I'm sorry, I checked that and I see what's going on. I'm eagerly anticipating more intelligence on some breaking news we talked about on the More Pain show tonight. The estimate a U-Cove, that's a U-COV, U-Cove rate in April of somewhere between 25.1% and 34.6%. That's unemployment, folks. That's compared to a 16% rate forecast by economists polled by Reuters, who also estimate American employers shed more than 20 million jobs last month. Jesus, God. The official unemployment rate may only capture a fraction of these losses. Chicago Fed economist Jason Faberman and Aitha Rajan wrote in a blog released Tuesday describing their proposed U-Cove measure of labor market underutilization. Many of those newly out of work will not be captured in the traditional U.S. unemployment measure, which counts only those who are out of a job and actively looking for work. The unique nature of COVID-19 crisis has led to the furlough of many workers and has also made it difficult for people to look for new work, even if jobs are available, they said. This evidence suggests that unemployment losses are likely in the tens of millions, but many individuals are finding it hard to actively look or be available for work and therefore be classified as unemployed. Hopefully we can leave you with some good news on the podcast to follow, episode 22. Some encouraging news coming from the federal apparatus, intelligence apparatus. Encouraging. We'll take whatever encouraging news we can get right now. So check on that later today. And I hope this gave you a little bit of a heads up on what's going on, what's breaking today. All these stories will be on True Pundit later as well. Recycling, and also in a story called Pain in the Morning, 5/6/2020. We appreciate all your support. Again, shout out to all the people out there on patreon.com/truepundit. I was just hanging out with you guys for like 2.5 hours, and so I got to do it again. And we appreciate the support. If you want to support us, that's a great way to do it. It's not like when I was growing up in the Catholic Church when they said, any small amount we'll do if you want to give to us. Any small amount if you want to contribute, we'll do. Nothing smaller than a 20. It's not like that. You can give whatever you want. Everything helps keep the lights on here, especially with what's happened. So I appreciate everything, and we're working hard here, breaking our backs, try to make some semblance for folks out there, what's going on, both in the corrupt federal government and the many layers of corruption that we continuously uncover. And unfortunately, I think there's many more levels that we don't know about that we're going to be cracking as well. Seems to be an ongoing theme. So hang in there. See you again on Thursday for Pain in the Morning. Between now and then, got another podcast coming, episode 22, FBI interview. We got breaking news on Department of Justice. We got a little bit more Bobby Kennedy to talk about. And the stuff we glossed over from the interview I had with him. And then some just state of the nation type feeling that we're all interested in hearing about and learning more about our current situation in this current crisis, where it's from, how it got here, how we got here, why we're here, etc. Talk to you guys. Take care. God bless. And see you later today and then later on Thursday. So take care and hang in there. Still here. Got you on that one.